As you're turning to Proverbs 6, do also remember that city council meeting at 5:30 on Tuesday at the Bridgeview Center. And those of you that can come down, it's just good to have a presence there for the evening and in support of what is right. And we'll strive for that. Be praying about that as well. It's not just showing up. We need God working in our country. President Trump has declared that the official statement for the U.S. government is that there are two genders, which agrees with God. That's a good thing. It's just fact. It's biological fact. And God designed it that way. And so he has made a good, strong declaration on that. They need to just get away with rename June. And I've heard different things. Why don't we have a whole month celebrating veterans? I mean, that at least they did something for the country. There's the logic of it. But anyway, please show up if you can. Tuesday, 5:30, Bridgeview Center. And you just go in the main doors, kind of go straight back to the back, and let's make them get extra chairs out for us to sit in, huh? Be good. So Proverbs 6 this evening, Proverbs 6, 6 through 11, going to look at lessons from the ant today. Lessons from the ant. And the Bible says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." That's somebody serving in the military that's not there to take care of their property. So that's the idea of that. So let's pray, look at the scripture tonight. Father, I ask that you would help us. God, there are some principles that we can see from the ant. God, you tell us in your word to go to the ant, to consider her ways, and through that to gain the wisdom of it. So I pray that you would help me to preach and teach tonight. God, that we would follow these principles. We ask it, and may your word direct us and help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the ant, first off, and looking at this, the ant is a worker. This passage is specifically addressed, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." And I'm going to say right off the bat, we do not have a lot in our church that you would look at and say, that person is a sluggard. If anything, I would say our body of believers errs on the side of maybe working too much. And I do want to put just a little something on that, because God designed us to work how many days? 6 days, and to have a day for the body to recover and for that body to rest a bit. And just because a person may look at it and say, you know what? Hey, I've got some physical strength. I've got the ability to do so. I'm going to work 7 days, or I'm going to work 6 days, and then on the seventh day in between church, I'm going to do all of these projects and everything about that. Just because you can do that does not mean it's good for you. Always, the design of God is the best design. And when we get outside of that design, just like any other area of Scripture, when we get outside of that design, we have to be careful. We'll get into trouble. It may be health. It may be something else. But we need to be cautious about that. If God designed it, it is best. So we think about that, and that should just be a general biblical principle. If God designed it, it is the best thing. There needs to be some time for that. And just because you can do it, we know also it does and definitely can affect our spirit, our attitude, our tiredness, our how we then react to people, to our family, to our children, and all that goes along with that. So we have to be cautious not to fall into, Brother Reed has a common saying, you don't want to fall in the ditch on either side of the road. And, you know, you want to stay up on top. Stay out of the ditch over here and stay out of the ditch over here. Some people are in the ditch of sluggardness. They don't work and don't want to work and they're lazy. And other people are in the ditch of working too much and overdoing it. And both sides, there's a ditch on both sides of the road. So the ant is a worker. We ought to be workers. And I don't think I need to emphasize that over much tonight. The next thing is this, the ant is self-motivated. Notice verse 7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. So the ant does not need someone to come along. Oh, you finished that job? Here you go. Oh, here's something else you can do. Here's something else you can do. I want to just briefly mention four types of workers. There are those who see a need and recognize that need and fulfill that need. They don't have to be asked to do that. Most of these people, these are your leaders in society. These are the people that have made it up to manager status or up to boss status. And the reason that they can handle that status is because they see and recognize the needs. A lot of people go through, they never see a need, they never recognize a need, and they ignore it. So we have to see it and fulfill the need. And it's just important. Anybody can do that. Last Sunday morning, I walked into the men's restroom, and there's a pool of water on the floor about yay deep. I couldn't figure out where it was coming from, but I grabbed a mop, and I mopped it up. I saw it. I mopped it up. Sunday night, it was back. Monday was Memorial Day, and it was back again. I'm like, no one's even using it. How is it back? And Tuesday, we resolved the issue, okay? But you can see a need and ignore it. You can see a need and do something about it. And so it's just basic little things all the time in life, those who see the need and fulfill it. A second type of worker are those who fulfill a need seen by another. So someone else sees the need, and they come, and they're the type of person that says, do you have anything that I can do? Well, that's also a good character trait. And when they fulfill that task, they come back and they say, okay, now what can I do? Okay, that's a tremendous worker right there. Any boss would love to have a worker who says, okay, boss, what do you got for me? Okay, boss, I just finished that. I'm back. What else you got for me? That's a great worker. That's something that's really good. Maybe they don't see all the needs, and maybe they don't understand everything, but they're there willing and ready to work and fulfill the needs that somebody else sees. The third type of worker are those who fulfill a need pointed out by another, and once that need is done, they wait for that person to approach them. Okay, they're not coming back and asking, is there something else? They fulfilled the need, and then they're lollygagging around, just kind of killing time. And when the boss comes up, they're there, they're available. And when the boss tells them, hey, go and do this, they're ready to go do that thing, but they're not asking for extra work. And then fourth one is the person who hides from the person who sees the needs, so they don't get asked. God forbid that would be any of the teenagers. And, okay, dad's coming home. I'm going to go hide in my room and hope that he doesn't have something to ask me to do. That's a horrible place to be. So the ant is a worker who is self-motivated, no guide, overseer, or ruler. Every one of them, they go about doing what they need to do. They all have their job. They get it done. They get out there. They see the need. Sometimes they collect a group of other ants together to eat that ant poison and take it back home. But it's an idea of self-motivated. We ought to be self-motivated people. If we're ever going to do anything for God, we've got to be self-motivated people in doing things for God. Then, thirdly, the ant is a provider. Verse number 8, provideth her meat in the summer. So the ant is a provider. And in providing, this ant is looking, he's providing for himself. He's providing for others. The Bible tells us in Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:8, And it tells us if a man provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he's worse than an infidel. It is an obligation, responsibility of a person to say, I have to be providing. And providing, it takes work, it takes effort, it takes responsibility, and it is something to be worn, something to be carried. There is a verse, somebody said something this week, I failed to write it down, but there's a verse in Lamentations that says, let them bear the yoke in their youth. And a young person, just realizing, you know what? I am at the time in my life where my body is the most capable. And let me tell you, it's only going downhill from here. Okay, it's the most capable. I'm going to bear the yoke in my youth. I'm going to provide in my youth, hopefully, so that as you get older, the yoke can lighten a little bit. And that body doesn't have to bear that brunt all the way into the 90s, like Brother Rose. When are you retiring? He's not going to retire. Okay, so the ant is a provider. Specifically here, the ant is not waiting for someone else to provide for him. We have trained a society that is waiting for someone else to provide for them. I'm not talking about a person that came on hard times and somebody had to help them out. I'm not talking about a situation that just came and is completely out of a person's control. But I am talking about people that just say, I'm just going to get on welfare. What is welfare? Welfare is simply the government taking money from other people that are working and redistributing it to people who are not working. It is not by choice. If a person charitably gives something, that is their own free will. The welfare system is designed to punish those who work hard and reward those who don't. In what society is that ever going to be a good thing? So we ought to have a mentality toward the welfare mentality, and that mentality ought to be, it's wrong, it's no good. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. So the ant is a provider. Also, we see in verse number 8, the ant is a saver. So provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Why is the ant so industrious throughout the summer and during harvest time? The ant knows that winter is coming. The ant is fully aware that there are things coming down the road. So the ant is a saver, and under the idea of saving, I want to point out that the substance of the ant is precious. This ant, he's going out and he's collecting. He's getting what he needs to eat for the day, and then he's saying, I'm going to save the rest of this. I'm going to take it back. I've got a storehouse to put it in. I've got right here more than is sufficient. It's something that has bothered me from I don't know how long on is just the idea of watching people, and especially when you're down to that last dollar. And maybe you're out, you're eating with someone at a restaurant and they've got a plate of food there and they eat, I don't know, a third of it. And they get up, no doggy bag, and just leave it. What I always want to do is slip off to the restroom, come back, say, can I get a doggy bag for their food? Because I just hate to see it go to waste. I also hate to see it go to waste. But I'd rather it go to waste than go to waste. We look at this and we understand, the Bible says, Proverbs 12:27, Proverbs 12:27 says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." When a man works for what he has, he labors. Through that labor, he saves and he gets something. That thing becomes precious to him and he takes care of it because it is the sweat of his brow that got that. When something is just handed to a person or it comes so easy, they don't tend to care about it. And so we need to consider that. The substance of the ant, every little piece is precious. It's either for now or it's for later, but I am not throwing it away. We'll get to that in a minute. 1 Chronicles 28, if you want to turn there, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1. I want you to notice the principle of David here. Now, did David live in poverty for a period of time? Sure, hardship in the wilderness over the course of time. And so David, when he gets established in his kingship, it says in David chapter 28, verse 1, David assembled all the princes of Israel and the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course and the captains over thousands and the captains over 100. And look at this, the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king. This was Old Testament doge. Okay? He's like, I want to know where the money's going. Why? Because he understood that substance is precious. It's important. So he sets up his team. He hires the Old Testament Elon Musk. He says, I want a stewardship kept of all the money and where it's going. That should be common sense, shouldn't it? And David looked at it, he says, I can't oversee all of that. But he's like, you're responsible for this. Boy, we need responsible people over those things. The point being that the substance of the ant is precious. And the substance of King David was precious. And we look at that and understand the things that we have, we ought to take care of the things that we have. We ought to be careful with the things we have. We ought to make those things last as long as we can because it's important. That leading into under the ant is a saver. Another point, the ant does not waste. Okay, so he does save. His substance is precious. He's not just throwing it away. He's not a waster. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9 says this. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Now, obviously, the Bible's very negative about waste. Throwing stuff away. Wasting. And why does a person waste? Because their substance is not precious. Sometimes they waste because it came too easy for them. Here it addresses the fact that if a person is slothful in their work, they're also a waster. They could have accomplished more in the workday and they didn't, and so they're brother to him that is a great waster. You either threw it away or you just didn't do it in the first place. Both of them are wasteful. Turn with me to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke 15 has a statement here concerning the prodigal son. It says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there what? Wasted his substance with riotous living. Okay, so he got it. It was handed to him. He did not earn it. He did not value it. He went out and says, you know what? I am done with working for Dad. I am done with laboring here on this farm. I am done with all of this. I'm just going to go out and I'm going to live it up. And he went out, and over the course, it doesn't tell us how long, but over a short period of time, he wasted his whole inheritance. It never comes back. He comes back, he's received back into the family. He doesn't get any more inheritance. Notice, Dad, at the end of that chapter, did not say to elder brother, let's take part of what's yours and give it to him now. That would be dead wrong. You waste it, that's your responsibility. And so we have to be careful about this. Because we can't fall in love with our possessions, but we should not waste. Proverbs 29:3, I'll just read it, says this: whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Again, this idea of riotous living. But I want to point out that lust is the enemy of saving. Lust is the enemy of saving. Now, whether that's moral lust or whether it's eating lust or whether it's a lust for things or a lust of appetite or whatever it may be, lust is always the enemy. I'm going to get, whether I need it or not, whether it's necessary or not. We have to make decisions, wise purchases, making sure that we're not just throwing it away. So the ant under a saver, the ant's substance is precious. The ant does not waste his money. And then under a saver also, the ant understands that winter is coming. The ant understands. Let's go back and read it in Proverbs 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Okay, so what is he doing? Winter's coming. He understands it's going to get cold out. I'm not going to be able to work. Now, some people have jobs that literally that's the way it operates. If they don't work in the summer, they starve in the winter. Other people have jobs that run year-round. But winter is, it's important to understand, winter doesn't have to mean cold weather. It doesn't have to mean snow. It can be a time of life. Winter's coming. You know, you look at it, if you want to work until you're 90, more power to you. If your body can't handle that and you realize, you know what, my body's going downhill, I'm not going to be able to work. Winter can be a period of life. And if we save along the way, winter becomes easier. And so the ant is a saver. He sees into the future. The Bible says a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Well, the ant foresees things are coming, and he says, I've got to be prepared for that. And we do need to be prepared. And we need to live in such a way as to be prepared for those things. As we look at just our life in general, are we aware the car you are currently driving will need to be replaced? Does everybody understand that? Whatever car it is, it's going to break down. It's going to need to be replaced. So what should you be looking at and thinking about and doing? Saving. Now, society's got things all messed up. They say, buy now, pay along the way, and when the car finally breaks down, the day after you made your last payment, you'll be ready to take out another and pay along the way again. It's much better if we can look out ahead and say, the car's going to need replaced, I'm going to save along the way. And when the car breaks down and I am ready to replace it, oh, I've got this much saved. What does that take? It takes foresight. It takes discipline. It's not easy. Because what tends to happen? Well, I have a little bit of money in my pocket. I don't have a bill right now. Forget the budget. I want. And that's a lot of what happens. Guess what? The hot water heater will go out. It will. I've replaced two of them in the last year. My mom didn't want cold water. Don't understand it. Cold showers are good for you. And my wife didn't want cold water. And, like, it's okay. We can do it without hot water. Not a problem. But guess what? It's going to go out. Brother Schrock's hot water heater went out. The hot water heater in the basement at the church went out. That's four hot water heaters. Guess what? Most of them were 90s. They were in the 90s that they came out. I can't remember what the one at the parsonage was. It was old. But it's going to go out. Guess what? That's just a given. And that's a responsibility. So if you own property, guess what's coming in September? Property taxes! It's coming. It's coming. And guess what? You can't get around it. It's there. And so you can, at the 1st of September, being, oh no, where in the world am I going to get this money? Or you can foresee it and say, okay, I'd better be setting aside a little bit monthly. And what a relief it is to have that money, and that bill comes along on September 1st and you just go and get it and take it down there. It's still not fun. But it's there. Insurance. Now, maybe you pay your insurance monthly. I pay insurance yearly. Why? It's cheaper. Just is. But guess what? That's coming. All of a sudden, some $3,000. It's like, okay, now you can wait. So the ant is an absolute example of foreseeing, foresight, looking ahead, saying, I need to be disciplined now. I need to be ready now. For some of you, the ring is coming. The ring. Jaden, the ring. Yeah, it's not for you for a while, okay? Obviously. If you clearly don't get it. Jaden, let me help you. Right here? Yeah. Okay. Don't worry about it, Jaden. It's a long ways off. But you know what? If you foresee, you can have the discipline to save, but it takes both the foresight and the discipline. And you realize, you know what? Hey, I've got a plan. I've got something. I need to be prepared and ready for this. So the ant is giving us these principles. Let me just give you three little things. Interest is the enemy of saving. Now, there's no way around some of it. If you're going to buy property, probably, unless you want to wait to buy property until you're 60, you're probably going to have some interest payments. But do you know what? If you'll just pay a little extra every month, I mean, Benjamin was just making a statement. He went down to the bank and he said, if I give, and they told him, yeah, if you give this much extra every month, your 15-year loan goes down to 8. by just a little. Why? Because you're putting it on the principal, and eventually you're not having to pay interest on all of that. You realize if you pay over a 30-year loan, you're paying for your house twice. Guess what the value is when you're done paying for it? It's once. But you paid twice. And then you sold it and say, I've got all this equity in it. But you realize if you bought a $100,000 house, you threw $100,000 away over the course of that time. And these are things that are just principles that we need to understand. So the bigger the down payment that you can put down, the less interest you have to pay the bank. I don't know about you, but I'm all about giving less to the bank. I would rather have more in my pocket and less in their pocket. And so we take this, and it's a principle. Interest is the enemy of savings. Late payments are an enemy. Late payments come with fees. You know, sometimes those fees are $20. Sometimes those fees are $30. But guess what? That adds up. Overdrafts are the enemy. Oh, boy. I had one time where somebody wrote me a bad check. I was a paper boy. I don't know, 11 years old, somewhere around there. Somebody writes me. I still remember her name. And you know how bad I am with names. She did me wrong. Her first name was Donna Mantha. Donna Mantha. I won't tell you her last name, just in case. I'm sure she's probably passed away by now, I would guess. But she wrote me a check. I took the bank deposit. Well, I cashed the check. It was for the paper route. And all of a sudden, that money came out of my bank account. I'm like, what happened? Well, the check bounced. You know, for a little kid, understanding the check bounced doesn't make any sense. People make jokes about rubber checks and all of this, and a lot of it goes over people's heads. But I learned real quick on that day, overdrafts, because then they were going to charge me the fee on top of it. Now, the bank, thankfully, was very nice to a little boy and said, just go down there and deal with her and get this right. We won't charge you the fee. And I was very thankful for that. But I learned as a little boy, overdrawing an account or cashing a bad check or whatever it may be is not your friend. It is not your friend. And I went back to see Donna Mantha. And you get the whole spill of, how could this possibly have happened? I don't get it. Well, you didn't have the money in there. You wrote me a check for the month for your papers and you didn't have the money in your account. These things happen, but they are always, all that stuff is just, it's gone. It's waste. And so God wants us to be good stewards of the things that we have. He wants us to take care of the things that we have. He wants us to be responsible with the things that we have. He wants us to be workers, self-motivated, providers, savers with substance that's precious, not wasted, and understand we need foresight to see things. Now, that's just good, practical Bible lesson from the ant, right? And let's take it. Especially some of you that have lived life, you may have this down. Some of you that are younger and you're coming into life, it'd be a good idea to get it down and realize that how I operate is going to affect the rest of my life. You look at different things. You save money in your 20s. It compounds greatly. I've seen different things. Dave Ramsey puts different things out. But he put out one, and it showed one person that put like $15,000 into investments when he was 20 and never added another dime to it. By the time he retired, it was over $1 million, something like that. And somebody else waited until they were 30 and put in from 30 to the rest of their life, put in monthly, and didn't have as much. Just the value of time going over. Guess what it takes? Discipline. It takes telling self, self, no, I'm not going to waste on that or that. I'm not saying you can't buy that cookie or that coffee or whatever it is, but just you need to think and say there are times to say self, no, or just simply budget it. When there's no budget and you're not operating under any kind of a budget, the money just goes and you look at the, it's like, where'd it go? Well, you don't know where it went. Because it does, it goes, doesn't it? It taketh wings and flieth away. It gone. We need trackers on it. Find out where it went. These are just, it's good biblical principles that I felt is, we need this. We got a lot of young people coming up, and it's good even for little kids to start mentally looking at that. And let's just take these Bible principles. It'll be helpful to your life. Okay, it's truth. It's God's truth. It's God's wisdom found in the book of Proverbs. It's truth. Okay? And it's God's direction for us. So, and guess what? It is helpful. And it's better. It's really a better way to live across the long term. So let's stand to our feet. Father, I pray as we look to the invitation tonight, this is a simple, straightforward truth from your word, practical principles. But Father, all of us, we need foresight, we need self-discipline to put these principles into practice. We need to be self-motivated to earn, to save, to realize what's coming. So God, we pray ultimately just that you would help us to be a wise people. We have your wisdom given in your word. So God, give us the ability to take that wisdom, or may I should say, take the knowledge and apply it so that it turns into wisdom. Father, I pray that you would guide all of us in this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays tonight, maybe you've got something to come and pray about tonight. More of a little bit of a teaching tonight, but it's truth. It's right. It's necessary. Practical little points. I don't know about you. My bank account is set up. The bank does everything for me for free as long as I don't drop below $500. If I drop below $500, they charge me $6. Like there went my Culver's cheese curds. Gone, just like that. But, you know, the system is designed to benefit the bank. But if you use it right, it can benefit you. And so let's just take some practical things. So I've got a couple things to print for Joe. I've got a little bit of information to give to Moses. So if you guys would just kind of see me over here in the office right afterwards. Great to see all of you. I trust that you'll have a blessed week. Continue to pray for one another. Continue to pray for Mrs. Phillips. Mrs. Tanksy, good to see Angie out again this morning and tonight. What a blessing. You eating well? All right. Super. Great. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's practical. It's applicable. God, it gives us lessons. It gives our young people lessons. Father, help us as older people to live and demonstrate this to the young people, because they're going to learn from your word, but they're also going to learn from our actions. God, I pray that you would help us, guide us throughout the week. Help us to witness to someone this week. God, help us as we prepare for camp. And God, all the work that goes into that, but hearts need to be prepared. And I pray for that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.